I found grace to save my soul. At the cross, grace made me whole. When the Savior took control and washed my sin away. Now the fellowship is sweet as I worship at His feet. Only by His grace I have found this holy place. Underneath His wings of love, trusting in my God above, grace for every need, grace that overflows and far exceeds, lavished on my soul at Calvary, only by His grace.
Such compassion I've been shown, giving strength that's not my own, it's only by His grace.
Every burden that I bear, Jesus comes and meets me there.
For the good music this morning that helps us. John chapter 10, find the Gospel of John chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I am going to forego having us stand today and read the Scripture together, and just because a tad, maybe 3 or 4 minutes behind schedule, I'm going to need some time with this message. So let's forego that and jump right into it in John chapter 10. And we're going to begin in just a moment in verse number 22. So find that part of the passage. We'll be looking at these verses together. And my message this morning is in the form of a question. Are you in good hands? Are you in good hands? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the music this morning that has helped and blessed us. The choir song was wonderful about your holiness. This song was wonderful about grace. We got to sing about being saved as sinners by grace. And so, Lord, the music has uplifted and blessed, and I trust, prepared our hearts now for Your Word. Holy Spirit of God, I ask You to please come and have full liberty in this service to speak to our hearts. We need it. We're hungry. We're thirsty. We want to hear from heaven. We need the blessing, and we ask for it today in Jesus' name. And amen. When we trust a doctor who is seeing one of our family members or one of our friends for treatment, we say to the family member or the friend, hey, you're in good hands. Now, that statement, that little statement, you're in good hands, we associate that nowadays with Allstate Insurance Company, right? They have grabbed onto that saying and they've made it their the marketing brand, if you will, for their business. And you're in good hands with Allstate. Now, what's interesting is I read that in the 1950s, a general sales manager at that insurance company had to rush home from a meeting because he learned that his young daughter had turned seriously ill. And so he got there, he was very concerned, of course, and his wife attempted to comfort him by saying the girl was in good hands with the doctor's care. Now, it was some months later, after that, the girl got well. Some months after that, the sales manager was in a meeting and he recalled that incident and the "You're in good hands with Allstate" logo, slogan, was born. That's where it came from. And that's how it started. Now, of course, they use the question at the end of their advertisements, are you in good hands? So what they're saying is, stop and think about it. Is your insurance in good condition? Do you have good insurance? Now, I am not selling insurance this morning, okay? I am not promoting Allstate. But I am asking that question about your soul. Are you in good hands? Are you in good hands? Now, I want you to look with me beginning at verse number 22, because this is the passage we're going to go through this morning. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. So the Bible tells us that it was wintertime in Jerusalem, and Jesus was at the Feast of Dedication that was in progress in the city of Jerusalem. Verse 23, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. So it's got this Feast of Dedication, and Jesus goes to Solomon's porch. Now, what was Solomon's porch? Well, it was part of the temple complex. If you ever have time, get your Google or get you a map of the temple, the New Testament temple complex, and you'll see that it had several different buildings and areas, and Solomon's porch was one such area. It seemed to be an area where people would gather. It's mentioned in Acts chapter 3, after the lame man was healed at Gate Beautiful, the people came to Solomon's porch wondering and gazing at the lame man who was now walking. It's mentioned also in Acts chapter 5, where a bunch of folks had gathered because of that miracle. So that's where Jesus went. He went to the place called Solomon's porch. Look at verse number 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. So Jesus was in this common area, and the Jews began to gather around him, and they asked him what to me is an amazing question. Look at it again. How long dost thou make us to doubt? What they were saying, Jesus, it is your fault that we haven't believed on you as the Messiah. It is your fault that we haven't received you as the anointed one of God. Why don't you just come out with it? Why don't you just tell us plainly if you are the Messiah or if there is another one coming? That's what they said at the end of verse 24. If thou be the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, tell us plainly. They were saying, Jesus, it's your fault. Now, people, Jesus was not then, and He is not now, in the business of making it hard to believe on Him as the anointed Son of God, as the only hope of salvation, as the only way of going to heaven. You know what? They were blaming Jesus Christ for their unbelief. Now, I've witnessed to people, and I've had them refuse to trust Christ as their Savior. I mean, bring them through the Scriptures and see them, obviously, under conviction, where you know the Spirit of God is working on their heart. It's obvious you see it. And you ask them, won't you trust Christ as Savior? And no, well, not now. And you ask them, so what is preventing you from trusting Christ as Savior? Well, I just need more. I need more time. I need more than what I have heard today. I need more than what I have learned. I just need more. And that's what these Jews were saying to Jesus Christ. Jesus, we need more. You have done us wrong by not giving us enough to believe in You. It's Your fault. Now I want you to look and see what Jesus said to them in verse number 25. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus didn't take any of it. He said, I have told you over and over and over and over. I am the Messiah. I am sent of God. I am come down from heaven. God the Father sent me here to do His work, to finish His work. I am the door to heaven. I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am greater than Abraham. Folks, you understand, every time Jesus responded to the Jews with the two words, I am, He was equating Himself with God, telling them, I am the Anointed One. I am, over and over and over and over, Jesus had given them these words. They did not believe His words. It wasn't Christ's fault. It was their fault. It was their fault. Now listen very carefully this morning. Any person who dies unsaved will never be able to stand before God and blame anybody else for their unbelief. You die lost without Christ, refusing to trust Him, you will not stand before God and say, you know what? You should have given me more. You should have told me plainly. And one of the reasons nobody will ever say that is because of what has been said by God about salvation, about Jesus Christ, about His death, burial, and resurrection. You know, it's an interesting thing over in Luke chapter 16, and I hope that you're familiar with the passage over there. Remember the story that Jesus told? It was not a parable. It was a real story about a rich man who lived sumptuously and he fared well, and the poor man Lazarus who sat outside of his gate and he was all eaten up with sores, and the dogs came and licked his sores. And the day came when Lazarus died, the Bible says, and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. He was not carried into heaven because he was poor. He was not carried into Abraham's bosom because he was sick. He was carried into Abraham's bosom because he had trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation. You say, how do you know that, Brother Angel? Because that's the only way anybody goes to heaven. Now, if he's in heaven, that's how he got there. He didn't get there because he was baptized. He didn't get there because he was a church member. He got there because he trusted in Christ and Christ alone. The Bible says that the rich man died also, listen, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He looked across the great divide over into Abraham's bosom where Lazarus was, and he saw Abraham over there, and he said, Abraham, send Lazarus. Have him dip the tip of his finger in water and come over here and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, I said, sir, I'm sorry, we can't do that. There's a great gulf fixed, and you can't come here, and he can't come there. That is impossible. That won't happen. They had a conversation for a while. And you remember what happened toward the end of that conversation? The rich man said, okay, my fate is sealed, but I have five brothers. Remember that? And would you do me a favor, Father Abraham, and send Lazarus to tell my five brothers that they need to trust Christ and avoid this awful place called hell? Do you remember that? Do you remember what Abraham said to him? Let me quote it to you. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them, let your five brothers hear them. Moses and the prophets. Where did they have Moses and the prophets, folks? They had it in the Scriptures. That's where they had Moses and the prophets. So Abraham said to this rich man who had five brothers living on earth who had not yet been saved, I don't want them to come. By the way, people who die and go to hell get real soul conscious. I got five brothers who are alive, and I love my brothers. I don't want them to come here. Can you imagine that? Here is a man whose eternal fate, his eternal destiny is sealed, but he loves his brothers enough that he doesn't want them to come there. So please send Lazarus by so that he can talk to them. And Abraham says, no, can't do that. They've got the Word of God. They've got Moses and they've got the prophets. And the rich man said, now don't miss this, the rich man said, Abraham, they need more. He said, listen, if somebody comes back from the dead and talks to them, I know they'll get saved. You know how Moses responded? You know how Abraham responded? He responded by saying this, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. He said, if they won't believe what is written about God and Jesus and the plan of salvation, if they won't believe the words that have been spoken, they won't believe, though one rose from the dead. People, you know what? Nobody's going to stand before God and point a finger in His face and said, I needed more. You've got all you need in the words of this book to be saved. You've got all you need in the words of this book to trust Christ. You know what? Do you know what the Bible is saying here? They ultimately had to believe what God said. Jesus said, I told you, and you have not believed my words. The second thing here. Something else. But this part of the message is very similar to one several weeks ago I preached out of John chapter 8. Look at what he said beginning in verse number 25 again. I told you, that's his words, and ye believed not. Wait a minute now. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Jesus said, not only have you heard my words, you've seen my works. You've seen my works. The works that He did, listen, the works that He did backed up the words that Jesus had used. His words were not believed in spite of the fact that He had done unbelievable works. People who are unsaved and refuse to believe God's Word also refuse to believe God's works. You say, well, Brother Angel, I just don't think, you know, they don't see many of God's works today like those people did in the Gospels when Jesus was on earth. You know, they don't see lame people walking. They don't see blind people seeing. They can't see the works of God. Really? Really? Brother Tom, are you saved?
Yes, sir.
How long have you been saved? Put you on the spot. 60-something years. There sits a work of God. Logan, when did you get saved? Just a couple of years ago. May 18, 2016. 2 years almost to the day. There is a work of God. sitting all over this room are people who at one time had no interest in God, no interest in the Bible, no interest in the songs of God, no interest in the services of God, no interest in the worship of God, and now they are new creatures. They passed from death into life. They had a dead spirit, but now they have a living spirit because God worked the miracle of salvation in their heart. There's plenty of works. Just look around. Just look around. You're saved, you're a work of God, friend. I'm talking about a new creature in Christ Jesus, brought from death into life, name written down in heaven. Listen, folks, do you understand? The disciples went out at Jesus' command in Luke chapter whatever it was, 10. They went out two by two, and they went out and did ministry, and they came back. And Jesus said, "How did it go, boys?" And they said, "Man, it was wonderful. The devils were cast out of people, and we did all these public miracles. It was unbelievable." You remember what Jesus said? He said, "Rejoice not in those things. Rather, rejoice that your name is written in heaven." Are you saved? You are a work of God if you're a born-again child of God. You're a work of God. And for people to come to a church service, for people to work with others who are saved, and to ignore that work of God, that's not God's fault. Are you listening this morning? That's not Jesus' fault. No, man, now God changes people. He passes them from death unto life. And so this is what Jesus said. He said, "What? Excuse me? I'm supposed to give you more? I'm supposed to do something? I'm supposed to tell you plainly?" I'm going to tell you what, young men, young ladies, you folks that are surrounded here on Solomon's porch. I gave you my words. I told you, and you believe not. I've also done all these works, and you don't believe those works that bear witness of me. Look at verse 26. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep." Look at verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice." Who are the sheep? The sheep are those who have trusted Christ as Savior. You become a sheep. Jesus is the great shepherd. And Jesus knows those who are His sheep. He knows those who belong to Him. He knows those who don't belong to Him as well. He knows. Look, hey, people, look. And I don't ever want to be guilty of purposely trying to make somebody doubt their salvation. But let me say this morning, you can try to fool others and probably do it. You can, you know, raise your hand every invitation. "Yeah, I know I'm saved. Yeah, everybody else is raising their hand, so I'll raise mine too." Well, God sees through all that. God sees through all that. And He knows. And Jesus knows the ones who are His sheep. "This one is my sheep, and this one is my sheep, and this one is my sheep, but this one is not my sheep, neither is that one. Yes, he is my sheep, she is my sheep. Yes, that young man is my sheep. Yes, that little girl is my sheep, but this young man, this younger, is not my sheep." He knows. He knows His sheep. And look what the Bible says in verse number 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Those who belong to Jesus know His voice, and they follow Him. Now, I have a question for you this morning. Are you one of His sheep? Are you one of His sheep? That's a fair question. Okay? I'm not being ugly. I'm not being demanding. I'm just asking, are you one of His sheep? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? If so, He knows that to be true. And if so, you know His voice and you have a heart to follow Him. Are you His sheep? Now listen, if you're not His sheep, there has been enough said this morning in the last 19 minutes for you to believe and trust Christ as your Savior. There is no other way to heaven. No. He is the door. You go through Christ. He didn't say, I am a way, a truth, and a life. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And then if he needed to, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you one of his sheep? I beg you to consider, I'm not being your enemy. I am sweating, and I am putting more than just physical energy. I am putting mental energy and soul and heart energy into this message this morning because I care about the destiny of your soul. Are you one of his sheep? Are you one of his sheep? Now, if you are, if you're not, man, get saved. Put aside any hesitancy. Put aside any hint of being embarrassed. That this is a great place to get saved. You know, it's easy to get saved in the church. People are happy when folks get saved. Now, are you his sheep? If you are his sheep, I want you to look at verse number 28 with me. He's talking about his sheep. He says, and I give unto them, who's them? Those who are his sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What great promises to those who are his sheep. I want you to see, first of all, Jesus said, my sheep are in my hand. My sheep. Look what it says. My sheep are in my hand. End of verse number 28. Neither shall any man pluck them. Who's them? The sheep out of my hand. Those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. Those who have believed in Him for salvation. Those who have trusted in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection alone as being sufficient for their salvation. Jesus said, I give them. I give my sheep eternal life. Now, whoa, stop there. Eternal life. First thing he said was eternal. Do you understand, friend, those synonyms, the synonyms for the word eternal? Abiding, boundless, constant, continual, continued, enduring, everlasting, immortal, immutable, indestructible, infinite, interminable, lasting, never-ending, perennial, permanent, perpetual, relentless, timeless, unceasing, unending, unremitting. All of those are synonyms, or if you like just what Jesus said, eternal. Eternal. That's what he said. And he said eternal life. That's opposed to eternal death, which is what unsaved people who do not trust Christ as Savior endure. They endure eternal death. You see, the punishment for rejecting Christ as Savior is not that you die and your body goes to the grave and that's it. Your soul goes to that place that rich man was called hell, and you are in a state of eternal dying, eternal burning. But to those who trust Jesus, to those who are His sheep, He gives to the sheep eternal life. And then He said, at the end of verse, at the continuing on to verse 28, and they shall never perish. Never. At no time. Don't hold your breath. Forget it. Nevermore. No way. Not at all. Not ever. Not in any way, not in the least, not on your life. That's what never means. When you come to Jesus for salvation, you become one of His sheep, and He gives unto you eternal life, and that life will never perish. That's what He says. Then Jesus said, neither shall any man pluck them, who's the them, out of my hands. Is that what it says? It says what? Hand. No man will pluck them out of my care. No man will pluck them out of my power. No man will pluck them out of my hand. Do you know what Jesus said to His sheep? I've got this. Anybody said that to you recently? Hey, don't worry about it. I've got this. It's okay. Don't sweat. Don't be anxious. Don't be all worked up. I've got this. And Jesus said to those people who come to Him and trust Him for salvation, He gives unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. And He's got His sheep in His hand, in His care, in His power. We're not going anywhere. We're in His care. We're in His power. We belong to Him. Jesus said, I've got my sheep in my care. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Man. Eternal life. Never perish. And I'm in His care. How's that for security, folks? How's that for being in good hands? Are you in good hands? If you're saved, you're in real good hands. But He doesn't stop there. Not only did he say, my sheep are in my hand, He said, my sheep are in my Father's hand. Now look at verse 29. My Father, which gave them me. Now stop right there. What's He saying? You see, it's God the Father who brings the lost people to Jesus Christ. God, through His Spirit, works in their heart. God, through His Spirit, brings conviction. God, through His Spirit, draws them to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, my sheep came to me because God worked in them. Remember I said He's the work of God? Every saved person is a work of God. You know what God did to this man 60-something years ago? He started working in his heart. He started drawing you, Brother Tom. He started showing you that you're lost. You need to be saved. Jesus died for you. You can't save yourself. And He drew you to Jesus Christ and said, here He is. When you got saved almost 2 years ago, Logan, God worked in your heart. And He brought conviction and He showed you the reality of your lost condition. And God brought you to Jesus. God doesn't bring you to a church baptistry. God doesn't bring you to a communion table. When God works in your heart about salvation, He brings you to Jesus Christ. That's salvation. And so Jesus said, my Father, which gave them me, look at what He says next, is greater than all. There is no one greater. There is no one bigger. There's no one more powerful. And He says, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man can touch my sheep. My sheep are in good care. They're in good hands. My sheep are in my hand, and my sheep are in my Father's hand. You say, Brother Terry, how can that be? Verse number 30. I and my Father are one. There is no schism. There is no crack. There is no shifting in the relationship between Jesus Christ the Son and God the Father. There's no room for movement. There is no room for division. There is no difference of opinion. None. Zero. Only one time in eternal history past and one time for eternal history, eternal future, will there ever be a schism between God the Father and Jesus the Son. And that was when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, bearing our sins in His own body upon the tree, and God turned His back on His own Son. But as soon as that sin debt was paid, Jesus Christ and God the Father, there's no schism, there's no division, there's no shifting in that relationship. We are one. Jesus said, hey, are you His sheep? I got good news for you this morning, brother, sister. If you're Christ's sheep, you're in good hands. Now, insurance companies. Insurance companies, if they consider you to be high risk, you can be dropped. or canceled if they determine that you are high risk. You're in good hands with Allstate until you have one too many accidents. You're in good hands with Allstate until you get one too many tickets. But when you're God's sheep, you can't be dropped. You can't be canceled. You said, Brother Angel, I'm a high-risk Christian. Join the club. I am too. I've tried so many times to live for Christ and I feel like I fail over and over again. Yeah, I know the feeling. But not one time. Not one time have I ever been worried about being dropped. Never have worried about being canceled. Never have gotten a letter in the mail. 111 Golden Avenue. Heavenly City, heaven. Due to your high risk Christianity, you are no longer in my care. Never have gotten one of those letters. Don't plan on it. And by the way, because I don't plan on getting one, I'm not going to take advantage of it and go out and live like I want to, because I'll never get dropped, because I'll never get canceled. I think I just want to live for Him and serve Him and honor Him and love Him and do more for Him, because bless God, I'm in good hands. Good hands. Are you in good hands this morning? That ought to do something to your heart. Oh, squeeze you deep. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's okay if I get a little happy during my own preaching this morning. Glory to God. If I did what I wanted to, I'd run out the aisle right now. I'm too old, Larry. Too old. One of you young guys can run for me. I don't care. Amen. I'll say amen. What a salvation. What a God. I'm in good hands. Are you in good hands? I love it when they sing that song. I think the Epleys sing it. Maybe some other folks. Though storms may rage and winds may blow, cares of life come against my soul. In troubled times, I know where to stand. No safer place to be than in God's hand. In God's hand, I'm in good hands. My soul is safe and secure. In God's hands, sweet assurance. It's good to know I'm in good hands. Now, I knew what I was preaching. Oh, this is several days old since I put it on paper. But since then, I got on my knees and I just thanked Him. Just thanked Him. Whew. Thanked Him, I'm in good hands. Maybe the better question this morning is, are you His sheep? Are you His sheep? If you're His sheep, you're in good hands. You're in good hands. You're in His hands. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, my heart is full. I just rejoice this morning. Not in a salvation that makes me want to go out and live like I want to, but in a salvation that makes me want to live for You. I thank You for those wonderful promises that You give to Your sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man will pluck them out of Your hand or God the Father's. Wow. My soul is secure. Thank you for that. God, my heart goes out this morning to anyone in this room who's not in good hands because they've not come to Christ. Please reach that heart today. Speak to that person today. Do a good work. Somebody's life and heart today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Are you His sheep? If so, you're in good hands. The pastor, it's been a while since I thought about it. But my heart rejoices this morning that I'm in good hands. And boy, my heart rises with yours in a spirit of wanting to live for Him and honor Him because I'm in His hand. God, encourage your heart. Speak to your heart this morning. Would you indicate that by lifting a hand saying, that's my desire too. God bless you. Would you do that this morning? Amen. Amen and amen. What a God. I give unto you. It's a gift. Now let me ask this question today. Is there somebody here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Or at least maybe you know you're not one of His sheep. You're not sure. But you'd sure like to be. And it's time. God has spoken to you. Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to become one of His sheep? Pastor, pray for me. I need to be one of His sheep. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning? Let me pray for you. Wherever you're sitting, I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask now, if you meant that, you'd like to be God's sheep, you know God's speaking to your heart this morning. Why don't you come? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one is looking. When the music starts in just a minute, why don't you come? And come and trust Christ this morning. I beg you to. There are some of you in this room I have prayed for, we have prayed for by name, prayed and prayed and prayed that you'd come to Christ. Today's the day. This is your time, your moment. Why don't you come and be saved? Become one of His sheep while God's speaking. Who's here this morning will say, Pastor, I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Maybe you came this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you need to do that, you come now while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll prepare for baptism. Here, I know we have at least one. Is there another that came this morning for baptism? Or you need to talk to somebody about it as they come? A Christian, you raised your hand. Your heart rises with love and devotion to God. Why don't you kneel this morning and just thank Him? If you can't kneel, just stand there at your pew and just thank Him from your heart that you're in His hands, great hands, good hands. If you need to be saved, I beg you to come this morning while the moment is clear in your mind and heart while God is speaking. Father, I have done everything I know to do, to preach your word, and to pray and to plead. And now, Lord, I give it to you. You give the increase. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. I would ask you to come. I would ask you to come. Thank you.